Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for your joy. Fill our soul. It looks like one of these days, Lord, this heart won't contain us anymore.
Mm.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
When the Lord be magnetized us to himself, even in the air. Lord, we are watching and we are waiting and we are looking. Our expectations shall not be cut off. In the name of the Lord Jesus, knowing assuredly that he that promised, he is faithful, is watching over his word to perform it. Lord, we thank you and we worship you, Lord. Glory unto them that look for him. Shall he appear again the second time without sin unto salvation? In the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. And now as we read your word this morning, Lord, let the Holy Ghost, who is the author thereof, throw light into his law in a new way into our spirit, Lord. Father, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know, in this world, everything that, have structure. The house has a structure. It has a foundation, right? You know, so we know that, you know. So sometimes, to our faith too, we have to go to the foundation of our faith.
Yes.
Even in this Arizona especially, you know, thank you, people have to inspect their foundation because of, I don't know, happening in this Arizona area. You know, they have to inspect the foundation once in a while because after the shift, you know. So also the word of God too, I mean, we have to, you know, go back to the foundations, you know, as often as we can. Let me just give a piece of scripture from here in 1 Peter 1:18. And here is what it says. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This morning, by the grace of God, don't take a text from that verse, the 19th verse, the precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Christ. Praise the Lord. That's the foundation of our faith. I mean, of course, forget many things about the blood of Jesus Christ most of the time. You know, and it's the foundation of our faith, you know. So we hear not long ago, a house, even in Houston, even in America here, what I'm told is collapsed because of some bad structure or bad foundation. So the foundation is not right, you know, there. I mean, where are you building a house upon? We have to go once in a while to the foundation of our faith. So this morning, for that text, the precious blood of Christ. Now, the word precious conjures to mind something of extreme value. You know that? What makes a thing precious may be circumstantial in nature, you know. And for example, in the world, only 8 metals are considered precious. 8 of the metals. They are rhodium, platinum, gold, ruthenium, iridium, osmium, palladium, and silver. These are called precious stones in the world. I mean, precious stones. Why are they precious? Because they are not made by man. They have to be dug up. It's already there by nature, right? It's so precious. Can't just put them on the street. Very, very precious, you know. So, and we are told we were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. So let's dig into that this morning. And so the reason this stone, for example, are called precious because of their reality. They are very, very real, right? And possession of the possession of desirable characteristics that are suitable for jewelry, for example, and for industrial uses. Look at your industry, they are using this metal. All your computers and so on, they are using this, you know, either gold or whatever, in the circuit board and so on. They are very, very precious, something like, you know, that's why they call them precious stones, right? But the thing is this, none of these things, call them stones or any other thing in the world, in the natural world, or what the natural man calls precious, meet the most important need of mankind. Not any of them, call it jewelry, call it whatever, none of them meet the the most important need of man, which is redemption. Praise the Lord. Redemption, and then to be reconciled to God. None of those things means it. Only the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, means that criteria of God. That's why it's so precious. So, indeed, the scripture called all of the other things, they call them, corruptible things, they call them. No matter how they glitter to man, they are all corruptible and so on. So, they cannot redeem man. Now, the blood, let's see what makes the blood of the Lord Jesus precious, you know. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious because of his cleansing power. Amen? Cleansing like no other thing can cleanse, like we see. So as we read in our text this morning in First Peter chapter 1 verse 19, where it is said that the word of God teaches us that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. It is precious because of his redeeming power. Oh, we are redeemed by it, right? The precious blood of the Lord Jesus. That's why it's so precious, you know. We were not redeemed with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. The Bible teaches that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Hebrews 9:22. And so on. You know? And there's no other blood that can meet that criteria. That is shedding of blood, no remission of sins, right? And there's no other blood in the whole wide world that can meet that criteria. That's why it is so precious. So indeed. So we see that right there, you know. So, the scripture teaches, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the blood of God. So, only the blood of God can redeem man back to himself. Because how do we know it is the blood of God? The Bible says so. But Paul, in giving a departing speech to the elders of the Ephesian church in Acts 20, about the 28th verse, the Holy Ghost tells us that the blood of Christ, the blood of God, let me read that to you. That brother Paul giving a departing message to the elders of people of the Church of Ephesus at that time. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Now watch this. To feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. So the blood of Jesus is the blood of God. So no other blood in the whole wide world can take away sin. So we see right there. That's why it's so precious. Because it's the blood of God. So we see in 1 John 1:7. But if you walk in the light, I'm going to talk about different reasons. You can't exhaust all of them. Why the blood of Christ is so precious. I'm working on the one where I say, because it has a cleansing power. No, that's not right now. Cleansing power. I'm agreeing with that for a while. Now, 1 John 1:7. But if you walk in the light, as he, meaning the Lord Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, watch this now. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Only the blood of Jesus has a cleansing power. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
How many sins? All sin. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
No matter what it is. I believe it was Charles Finney, another powerful evangelist. I think people say that he was the most powerful evangelist in the world since the death of Paul. So they say. Anyway, I read the book many years ago, and somebody come to me. I think somebody had him preach, Charles Finney and so on. This man, when he preached, conviction of sin, he has convicted all villages at one time. And they went, all factories closed down in the New York area. If you read his book and so. Anyway, somebody came to him and said, okay, you preach about sin. Is there anything God cannot forgive? He said he committed a murder. Ah, repent, God will forgive you. So, when the Bible says all sin, right? You know, so praise the Lord. So, all sin. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ from all sin. Now, I will talk more on that and so on. Anyway, another thing is this. That in the book of Revelation 1:5, Bible tells us, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. See, talking about the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. Why it is so precious, right? to wash us from our sins. That's cleansing, right? From our sins in his own blood. Yes, the cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ makes it precious. Now, no other blood but the blood of Christ can cleanse or wash us from sin. Under the Old Testament, for example, you know, meaning the law, where they had a kind of blood that they do, the blood of innocent animals was shed, right? You know, these animals, of course, they were a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know that, you know. Don't forget that the Old Testament, you know, in most cases, it's just a shadow of that which is to come, you know. And so we know all those animals they were sacrificing, they were just a type of Christ. You know, just like the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:19, the Bible says, you know, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. That is what they were doing in the Old Testament. It was typing Christ, you know, so as we see, you know. So anyway, however, the blood of these sacrificial animals only cover the people's sins. That's what he did, you know. And they didn't cleanse them, no, he didn't cleanse them from sins, just cover their sins. That's why the Jews had to repeat this sacrifice year by year, regularly, year by year. And even some of them, I say, when they sin, they had to take a lamb, go to the priest and something like that, you know. What kind of sin like that, you know? Remember that God said, my greatest joy is that, look, I don't have to do all those rituals that the Jews were doing. Praise the Lord. I'm free from all those that can just call upon the name of the Lord, you know. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to understand this thing and so on, you know. So anyway, so that's what they were doing, that covenant that the Lord, you know, gave them at that time and so on. But, so their sins were merely covered, not cleansed, still living the sin nature in man, in that covenant and so on. But thank God, one thing that makes our new covenant that God gave us, New Testament, so precious, is the Bible says it's so much better than the old covenant. The Bible says, you know, because he has washed us, he has cleansed us from all sin in his own blood. That is make a whole much, in fact, excellently better. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. You know, but now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, meaning our Lord Jesus Christ. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. You see that one? Better covenant. Praise the Lord. Which was established upon better promises. See? Thank God, that's why we are in. Praise God. Bible talk of the grace wherein you now stand, right? Now, for if that first covenant have been faultless, the Bible says, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding you know, fault with them, he said, behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not. Hear the Lord. Now, more about this covenant. Let's talk about it more in Hebrews chapter 7. You know, to see what it used to be, and we can appreciate the grace that we are in, we stand today as Christians, you know, as the children of the living God. In Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he, meaning the Lord Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests of the old covenant, right, you know, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, like this, you know what they were doing, and then for the people's. Now look at this. For this he did once when he offered up himself. See, the Lord did it only once, because it's not just this is a new covenant that he makes with us and so on. Only once. Now, more about Christ's redemption to us. In Hebrews 9:11, it says, but Christ being come, I think I did that before, you know, I want to do it again. Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of his of this building. Verse 12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once, you see, not every year now, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. See, by that is the cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus. He entered in only once with his own blood, see, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. Verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead work to serve the living God. Purging means cleansing. Talking about the cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Yes, the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious because of the cleansing power, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, and like I read 1 John 1:7 before, I want to remind us again that but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we are fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Yes, the precious blood of Jesus. Why so precious? From all sins. Well, so we see, often that verse we quote it many times to the unbeliever, right? But we know assuredly, Brother John, the apostle, what he given to write to the unbelievers, right? They were epistles written to the Christians. Praise the Lord. So they were writing to the Christians and so like that, you know. And the reason I'm saying that is this. So the Bible says that because if they were listening to the sinners, we know that sinners don't walk in the light anyway. They're not walking in the light, right? Yeah. So it's written to the Christians, not to the sinners and so on. People will be quoting to the sinner, but belong to the Christians really, you know. So because they are not really walking in the light anything. So that's why they have to walk in the light, they have to first of all come to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Because the Lord told us in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, shall have the light of life. So that epistle was written to Christians because they couldn't have been walking in the light because they were sinners, right? So they were written to Christians, you know. So it is very important to remember that if we walk in the light, as the Lord Jesus is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Why am I repeating it? I show you why now. Because if you are a child of God, and you are in fellowship with your brother, or you are out of fellowship with your brother or your sister, then you are not walking in the light. Amen? Praise the Lord. As if you are a Christian, you are out of fellowship with a brother or a sister, then you are not walking in the light. And you know the meaning of that is that then your sin will not be cleansed. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I want to read it again. No, 1 John 1:7. But if you walk in the light, right? As he, the Lord Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and conjunction, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansed up from all sins. So if you are not walking, if you are out of fellowship with your brother or a sister, then you are out of fellowship. Your sin will not be cleansed at that time until you come back in love again by reconciliating or by resolving all issues with your brother or a sister. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Bible uses another way. The Lord says, you don't forget other people their sins, then your sin will not be forgiven too, right?
Mm.
Bible is, he loves us, but he gave us some principles which is at our benefit. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Or to come to the light again by reconciliation to other people that may be out. There are some people today, some group of people too, you know, who are in this error. You know, they can't fellowship with any other person who is not member of their fellowship. That is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how highly they may, what revelation they have, you know, you must be agreeable to other Christians who are walking in the word of God. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That is the teaching, plain teaching of the scripture and so on, that, you know. So, and so this exclusive group, I call them, are really out of fellowship with the rest of the body of Christ, no matter what revelation they carry. So we shouldn't fall into that error. Praise the Lord Jesus. So it's okay, idea. So, and so again, that's what the Bible says, right here. Now, let me add this one to it though. I know we all make mistakes. Nobody has got mistakes, right? We all make mistakes. And the Lord understands that. So, being human and so on, human nature is that. You all make mistakes, you know. So, no one is perfect, you know. And there are imperfections in all of us. Praise the Lord Jesus. Only the Lord will perfect that which concerns us, right? It takes the Lord himself to perfect that which concerns you and I. Praise the Lord. And that David wrote that by the Holy Ghost, I believe in, I don't know, Psalm 138 or something like that, the last verse, something like that, you know. So, but, so let's just have that point in mind. So don't condemn yourself when you get into an error or make a mistake. There's a remedy for every mistake we make, okay? When I say mistake, I'm just using a glorified name for sin. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's right. So it's a glorified name for sin. You don't make a mistake or you miss it, right? And just sugarcoating sin, right? No, sin is sin, right? You know? Praise the Lord Jesus. So we sugarcoat it and not to glorify it and come and make it dominate over us. Thank God we have an antidote for it in the Word of God. So, but the thing is this. So, as long as we walk in the light, even though you make a mistake, you know, I'll do that again, there is continual cleansing of sin when we say the Bible's step to remedy it and so on. So when you know you have made a mistake, of course, what do? The Bible says confess it. Confess it to the Lord. And the Lord is faithful and just to forgive you and me and to cleanse us. Even you, the word cleansing from all unrighteousness. Amen. Isn't that so sweet? You know, I think I have a scripture in 1 John 1:9, right? 1:8-9, you know. So, if we say that we have no sin, whether be glorifying or be coaching, let me just give it a naked, as the Bible makes it naked, right? All things are naked before him, right? If we say we have no sin, don't forget, that's to Christians, right? So, then, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, see, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ, right? So if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So the truth is this. So the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. When we confess that sin. So, blessed be the name of the Lord, the cleansing power. It is so precious because of the cleansing power. Now, another reason why the Lord's blood is so precious is because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is peace-bringing power. Can bring peace to your heart and so on. Yeah, peace-bringing power. That's in Colossians 1:20 right now, you know. It's peace-bringing. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace. You see that one? Having made peace. Talking to Christians now. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Talking about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes it so precious? Just going through all kind of reasons. You can't even exhaust them, really, you know. But just a couple of them. So having made peace through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, meaning by the Lord Jesus, whether they be things in heart or things in heaven. So so the first thing is that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ pacifies the broken law. I mean, because we all know when we are going to Romans 3:23 says this, you know, for all have sinned, right? And come short of the glory of God. So he takes the blood of his cross to pacify that and so on, to bring us back to God again. So through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ's cross, God has made peace, reconciling all things to himself. That scripture says right there. Another thing is this. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ pacifies the guilty conscience who has not been there before. Maybe even now, every so often, we have a guilty conscience in us, right? Should that really be the case? Should that really be the case? Not really. I don't care how often we get into this error of having guilty conscience. You know, it's not the right thing to do. That's not what they have done for us. So, and now why do we have this guilty conscience? Because we have not magnified the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we ought to. We haven't really magnified the blood and the great, Bible, you know, the great, I mean, precious blood of the Lord Jesus. He did for us. That's why we haven't really come to that point where we magnify to that level. So that's why I believe many Christians, every one of us, one way or the other, you know, are having a feeling of guilty conscience. So the thing is, if believers only knew about the power of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, they would no longer have a guilty conscience. I'm going to back up with scripture this morning, you know, so to see, we compare the old covenant. You know, the Bible says that was done away with, right? And the Bible says, like I read before, that's why they couldn't do it, but we are given a new covenant. So now let's see. So now the word of God tells us much about, you know what happened in the old covenant. That is in Hebrews 10. I'll read a couple of verses from there, just to really compare to see why we should not be having a guilty conscience. That's what they had in the Old Testament, right? Every year they had to make atonement for sin, and every year. So let's see what they were doing, and it ought not to be so with a Christian. So let's begin from Hebrews 10, beginning from verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, see, when we say the Old Testament is a shadow of the new, that's what we're talking about, right? You know, go on. And not the very image of the things, can never, you see that one never, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually made the command thereunto perfect. There's no how many goats they can kill or how many cows they can kill, they can never make them perfect. Praise the Lord. See? That's why the Lord, there has to be a change, you know. Now verse 2 says, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipper, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But look at verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. That's why it was done away with, right? That means in the new covenant, we ought not to have remembrance of sins, right? Now he's telling us right there, we ought not to. Guilty conscience, we ought not to. See? Now verse 14, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of gold should take away sin. That's why they were having remembrance of sins, right? Because that they couldn't do it, you know? Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body has thou prepared me. In burnt offering and sacrifice for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And verse 8 says, above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hath pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Now then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. So he taketh away the first. You see that one? That he may establish the second. That's the reason. No? He took that away. He gave it to Moses. Then he took it away, right? That he may establish the second. But then says this. The second one. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Not every year anymore. Once for all, it's done. You know? So why should you carry guilty conscience? Why? You know? Anyway, and every priest standard daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which, watch again, in the Old Testament, can never take away sin. All the Wadi could never take away sin. All that he had couldn't take it away. So he had to replace it with a better covenant, be established on better promises, which it should never be giving you guilty conscience anymore over sin, you know. And but this man, you see, this man, meaning the Lord Jesus, call him a man, the God man, right? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, that is it, you know. Sit down on the right hand of God. It was done. See? Now, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. So we are, God is contrasting the new and the old covenant. They are still having guilty conscience every year, but not to the new. No? Now, so we see. For by one offering, look at this, verse 14. For by one offering, he has perfected forever. Then, it's a sanctified. That's why David wrote that the Lord will perfect all that which concerns you, right? When Christ came, he has done that, amen? Only in him do we have perfection. Praise the Lord. He's done it. Accept it as the things of God. You hear it. I believe it. God says, I believe it. It's mine. Praise the Lord. That's the only way to really be perfect and so on. Anyway, so we see right here. And whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Look at verse 17. And their sins, here is you and I now, this is the covenant. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Amen. Why are you remembering? Why am I remembering mine? When I've confessed it, why are you remembering yours? Here is the word of God. Why am I going to be remembering what God has forgotten? Why are you remembering, you know, what God has forgotten? We are wasting our time, right? And God's time too, you know. Praise the Lord. You're not getting being holy by remembering all those things, all those your faults. You're not getting holy at all. Holiness is to believe the word of God. My sins, God said, he will remember them no more. That is holiness, isn't it? And you walk as the elect of God. Praise the Lord. See? So anyway, now, we are remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. Now, verse 19, very important. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, you see that one, to enter into the holiest. How do we do it? By the blood of Jesus. That's the only way. I'll come to it later, you know. By the blood of Jesus. You see, the precious blood of Christ. See? Now, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us, for you and I, you know, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God. I will read one more verse and then we'll move on here. I will cut to that scripture before I close in another few minutes. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Are you doubting? You know? Having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. You see? Guilty conscience, right? You know? I believe I think it's an evil conscience, right, to me. And our bodies washed with pure water. Praise the Lord Jesus. So Jesus' blood is precious because of his pacifying power. That's what I was talking about for the last few minutes. He pacifies not only the broken law, but also guilty conscience. Shouldn't be enough. But we run through it almost all the time, you know. Celebrate another reason why the blood of the Lord Jesus is so precious. It is so precious because of his reconciling power. See? The reconciling power of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let in Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. See? That's not able to come to God. Has to come by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's so precious, right? No other way. So the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ did it. Not you and I, or anything like that. Nothing else will do it. So, another thing to look at this is this, which we saw we read it before. The blood of Jesus Christ is so precious because of his embodying power. Amen? That if you have any boldness, actually because of the blood of Jesus Christ, right? I think I've read it in the book of Hebrews before. Hebrews 10:19 says this, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Can you imagine? The holiest of God, right? You know? Even the earthly holy of holies, he tells the priest one time, only one time a year, right? You can enter that, you know, anytime we want now, the Lord Jesus sitting at the right hand of majesty on high, amen? Ever living to make session for you and I. He has entered in their world and obtained eternal redemption for us. Praise the Lord. So you see now, so the blood of the Lord Jesus is so precious because of the emboldened power. So you don't have to come by your own or anyone else's name to this throne. And you don't have to come to this throne by your own righteousness. You know, in fact, one scripture says that Christ has been made unto us righteousness. Amen. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the most precious scriptures to me. Amen. When you see, I remember in Isaiah 64 or something like that, when we are, the very first thing we know, our own righteousness before God is like filthy rags, right? Only Christ, you know, is the true righteousness, amen? Mm-hmm. I have made unto you righteousness, made unto you sanctification, made unto you redemption, amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. I think that's Corinthians 1:30 or something like that, you know? Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. All these things are just there for the Christian and so that no need to carry guilty conscience. You know, around as well as that, you know, because of what the Lord has done. So, so anyway, it doesn't matter how many good works anybody does, or how many right conducts anybody does, when you come to God, you come boldly only through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen?
Yes.
Not because I did that, only through the blood. Praise the Lord. Yes. We do not have this boldness because we are bold or a brave people. You can be whosoever, you can be lifting, you can be able to lift 200 pounds weight, and so you are brave. No, that doesn't be to the presence of God, right? Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we enter the presence of the living God? So, the boldness we're talking about is produced because we know about the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come washed in his blood. We come robed in his righteousness, amen, and not praise the Lord. Now, so again, in Hebrews 10, the 20th verse, we are read before a little bit, but I want to just wrap it up again, 10, 20, 21, 32, by a new and a living way, which he had consecrated for us, meaning through the veil, that is to say, is flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw nigh with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, not in doubt, this is full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Isaiah 14, this thing, even told Israel, I always like this verse also in Isaiah 45, I believe it is, you know, it should be, I think, 45, I think verse 23, I might have tried it from there. I am either blotted out the transgression for my own sake, and will not remember your sin. The same thing tells us in the book of Hebrews, right? Praise the Lord, the same God, right? I will not remember your sin. That's what he says. So anyway, so as the song goes here, you know, we all sing this song, you know, what can wash away my sin? You see that? In that song. See? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. What can make me whole again? See? Nothing. Nothing. This world I want. But the blood of Jesus. Talking about the precious blood of Christ, right? You know, another song says this. There is power. Power. Wonder working power. In the blood. Precious blood of the Lamb. Amen? And just to say this morning to remind us of the unlimited power and privileges, you know, that we have through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know. Now, the blood of the Lord, another thing is this. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious because of his overcoming power, you know. Overcoming power. Let's see Revelation 12. The overcomer, how did they do it, you know. Now, Revelation 12:11. How they overcome him, you know, the dragon, Satan, demons, whatever you name it, and so that's according to God. Overcome him. See? By the blood of the Lamb. See? And by the word of their testimony. And they lost not their life unto the death. So that word, their testimony, means also the word of right confession. Rightly confessing the word of God. Last week we talked about confessing and claiming our redemptive rights, right? So the same thing here. That word is called testimony here. Can be substituted for confession, you know? Now, so that we talked a lot last week about, you know, our redemption and claiming them, you know, our life of redemption. So this scripture I just read here brings out another truth, vital truth, that, you know, they overcome. Not only by the word of our testimony or the word of their confession, but also by the blood of the Lamb. So, and this verse tells us they overcame, right? They overcome us, right? Thank God today that is overcoming power in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Power to overcome the world, yes? I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy that come by the blood, right? He told us many things that what he revealed or to the epistles were given to us and all that, you know? So, power to overcome the fear of death. Power to overcome the power of the devil. Power to overcome all evil. Name it. You know? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is an overcoming and the overcoming weapon that we have and so on. The weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal. One of the most important of them is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the name of the Lord Jesus is a whole story by its own self, a whole wonder, wonderful, wonderful blessing. We won't delve into it right now. And these are the foundations of our faith. We can talk about any other mystery, so, you know, these are the building blocks of the Christian faith. All the other things make relevant only when we have absorbed this truth and are using them. Praise the Lord. See? Weapons are up here, they're not clad, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of those things and so on. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious because he makes you an overcomer. Amen? Amen. When you apply it and you appropriate it, you cannot be defeated. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, let me round up here. This one, there may not be direct scripture for it. It's called the pleading the blood of Jesus. Some people have forgotten these things and so on. Pleading the blood of Jesus is powerful and effective. How the way they do it? So simply say, I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, brethren, we have seen it with our eyes too. We can say with Brother John, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we have handled, we have had with our ears, even the word of life, right? When you really apply the blood and plead the blood of Jesus Christ in faith, demons are agitated. How many times have we seen that one? They are agitated. When by faith you just say, I plead the blood of you can be alone in your own realm, you can be in a fellowship and so on, and it makes it easier to cast out demons. When you think that all there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ and you are thinking with faith, we've seen it all over many, many years and so on that, you know, demons are agitated and they are easily casted and so on that, you know. So if you are forgotten those things, get back to them, amen. They walk and they still walk. His power will never fail, amen? The power of the blood will never fail. Praise the Lord Jesus. So don't forget those things. If you are forgotten them, return to them. See? And so on. Praise the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know? So anyway, now, then one more thing before I close. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious because of his song-inspiring power. And it starts with the overcomers too, you know? In Revelation 5, Bible talks about the four and the 20 elders, right? Revelation 5, verse 9. And a song, a new song, right? Saying, thou art worthy to take the book, see? And to open the seat thereof. For thou was slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Many years ago we talked about that group. Just a digression a little bit here, maybe a refresher if you want to say that. Those Bible say those four and 20 elders that turned out strong, they are only symbolic of the overcoming church. See, we are saying that by his blood we overcome, right? These 420 elders, they are only symbolic of the overcoming church. They must represent more than 24 persons. Just that number 24 is symbolic only. You see, they have to represent not only 24 persons as evidence by the song that they sang, because they said that he has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people. Tongue means languages, right? Today, they say that about, I put it there, what they call the ethnologues, people who catalog languages. Today, there are about 7,000 living languages. So if Christ redeemed, then these people from every of the tongues, how can it be 24 only? See what I'm saying? They are only symbolic of the overcoming church. Praise the Lord. See, they are just symbolic of the overcoming church. They are representative for the overcoming church, you know. So, and so let us know that. So, now the point is this. See, so they were overcomers, right? And they were redeemed. They were singing. So, the blood of the Lord is special because his song is powerful. They were so happy and so on, and redeemed us, see, unto God by that blood. So, like I said, so we see that idea. So now, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. I want to summarize it now, and then I close from here. What I said this morning, so just to save time, if you need to do it again or make more, we do it. Now, so in summary, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious because of his cleansing power. We went through that and so on. It is precious because of his peace-bringing power. That's in Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of his cross. I don't need to carry this conscience. We just, by the grace of God, practice the scriptures. Are you going to be tempted? I tell you a million more times, isn't it? You just stand your ground. Praise the Lord. Stand your ground, you see? One thing is sure. Even the Lord himself, you know, he has to tell that devil, it is written, right? Bible says then, after your wife departed, right? He may come back again, you do the same thing, amen? Resist him, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I say, resist the devil, he flee from you. Come out, remind you of old things. Oh, Lucifer, it is written. I've confessed that sin to the Lord, right? And God doesn't remember him anymore. That's what he says in his word. He says in the Old Testament, in Hebrews 10, as I asked the prophet, wrote in Isaiah 45. So what is it then? Satan just gets lost, amen? And just pray the Lord. You see, that simple. And so do it otherwise, won't make you holier. You are holy when you keep those promises, amen? And God is happy with you. Praise the Lord. So you see, so now, so if I pacify peace and sort of that, you know, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is precious because of the reconciling power. Ephesians 2:13 says that, allow me to go to read all of those things, just as we close here. So, and I think I got, so now in summary, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious because of his emboldening power. See, come boldness to enter, you know, the holiest by the blood of Christ. In the old covenant, only a selected people can go to the Holy of Holies that they won't have that time now. They only the priest. But today, every Christian, amen, by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, praise the Lord Jesus. Now, again, it is precious, the Lord, because he makes an overcomer, make you an overcomer, amen? Can overcome all things, praise the Lord. Even in Matthew 17, in the gospel, the Lord said that nothing shall be impossible unto you, right? Then the epistle brings us more light, the Pauline epistle brings us more light, and so on, through the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, and so, again, overcoming power. Because in Revelation 12:11, like I said before, they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, or their word of their confession. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This morning, we make up your mind that you must be an overcomer. God gave us his word to achieve the goal of the overcomer. Amen. If you know what I'm talking about, praise the Lord. The last day message was given that we may achieve the good of the overcomer, amen? Will you be an overcomer? Not by your mind. So, you know, if you are thinking you are going to do yourself, only by the blood of the Lamb, right? and the word, confessing the word of God. Praise the Lord. So let us put that in mind and go and day by day live the life of the overcomer. I will labor the gill of this song as we close. Bible says, who is on the Lord's side? Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you on the Lord's side? Let's sing that song as we close. Praise the Lord. We'll be an overcomer. Praise the Lord. God, lead us in that song as we close. Revelation throughout the church ages. You ended the messages by whosoever overcomes. He that overcomes, there's a promise for every church age. So therefore, Lord, he said, as I overcame, in all things he be hoping to be like unto your brethren. And as you became us, that we might become you. He said, as I overcame. So he wants every one of us to overcome. Lord, thank you for giving us the secret to overcome him. You know, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of that testimony, or the word of that confession. Now, never let the word of God depart from your mouth. Bible says you can overcome everything by the word of God, the creative power of God. So Lord, we go on with the mind. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So speaking the word only, nothing shall be able to, but nothing shall be able to stand before you. He told Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That means you and I too. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All that we are reading our fourth time, we are reading for our own example of our admonition. That we through the scripture may have hope. So we thank you this morning. We are living as an overcomer. And henceforth we live the life of an overcomer through our Lord Jesus Christ and his blood and his word and his name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.